Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Nazir is Chaf Beis. We're in Chaf Alf Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is Luna Zech and Ishmael Sliba, Gabriela Bashmuel. We are dealing with the Gemara's question at hand. The Gemara's question is a classic question regarding the hafara that a woman, that a husband has towards his wife. The Torah empowers a husband upon hearing that his wife made a neder that within a 1 day period, so he could be made for his wife's nedarim. It's a topic that we spent the last three prakim of Masechta Nedarim discussing, not all three, but towards the end of the Masechta, the Gemara spent some considerable amount of time, and here Masechta Nazir. So we're touching on an issue which really is a fundamental issue. It's one of those basic issues that come up a couple of times in the Gemara here in Nazir. And Nazir takes an opportunity to look at this issue once again. I'm sorry. Is there a box of... Yeah. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Okay, we are looking at this issue. We're looking at this issue once again. It's a pretty straightforward issue, and the question on the table is as follows. When a husband's made for his wife's nedarim, so there are two possibilities. Either he's ma'akir, in other words, he uproots it from the very beginning. So that means to say that her neder was expunged all the way from the point of origination. It's as if she did not make a neder altogether. That's one possibility. The other possibility is megas gayas. The word megas, the word giza, means to shear, to cut. And basically the other option is that he's cutting it. Not cutting it from the point of origination, but cutting it from this point going forward. Meaning that she has a history of having had made a neder. But in other words, her neder has come to an end. His ability to be made for his neder is just simply a curtailing of the neder. It is now done. Because the husband was made for the neder. What's the difference? And when all said and done, the neder is no longer there. So what's the practical difference? So the Gemara gives a nafka minute earlier, which we're going to come back to later today, but I'll mention it now. And that is, let's envision the following scenario. Let's say the wife of a husband says, you know what, I'd like to be a nazir. And then comes along a second person and says, you know what a great idea. Second woman says to the first woman, to the wife, I would like to hitch my nazirus onto your nazirus. If you're a nazir, I'm a nazir. And so we have two women now, both of them declaring to be a nazir. One as a result of being hitched onto the first. And then the husband comes along and the husband hears that his wife made a neder and he says, you know what, enough. I'm not interested. So the husband of the first wife says, I'm going to be made for the neder. So if what's happening is that her neder is being expunged all the way from the beginning of her neder, so that means that there's no longer any neder whatsoever. And so the second woman's neder also is gone. Because she only was a nazir as an attachment to the first, but now you don't have any neder whatsoever. If, however, we take the position of megas gayas, where we are the husband's ability to be made for is only cutting it from this point going forward, so that means now that she had a neder, and she still had a neder. She no longer has a neder, but she had a neder, and so therefore the second woman still has something to hitch herself onto in terms of the first woman. The second woman still will be a nazir. I should say more grammatically correct, a nazira. Either way, the Gemara says that's the basic question. How do we look at hafara? So what we've been doing yesterday, we're going to continue to do for the rest of today, is we're going to try to be poshet. We're going to try to resolve the question. We're on the bottom of Chaf Alf Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Tashma. It's about... It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Last three words of the line, Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Ha'isha shenazir benazir. A woman who accepts upon herself naziris, the ha'isa shows the yainu metam lemesim. And then, not totally familiar with the laws, or maybe she is, obviously, as we'll see in just a moment, the only way she's going to get malchus is if she knows. But anyway, okay, she's not careful. She's drinking wine. She's going to the cemetery. I raise this up. I get sorry by him. So she's going to be liable. She's going to receive malchus for lashes. The hechidami. Gemara says, now let's consider. This is a Mishnah which actually we're going to be learning in tomorrow's daf. This Mishnah that we're going to be seeing tomorrow is a pretty straightforward Mishnah. In fact, it's so straightforward, it's pasha. It's obvious. Meaning here you have a woman who declares herself to be in a zero. Then she starts going ahead, drinking wine, going to a cemetery. She's going to get malchus. Again, assuming that she did so intentionally, she had a warning, she went through due process, she's going to get malchus. It's obvious. And again, like we've said time and again, that's not the purpose of a mishnah. The mishnah is not there to teach you something which is so super obvious. So the Gemara says, so what are we talking about? Are we talking about a regular case where the husband didn't intervene at all, and her neder is just simply a neder that's standing? And she's a nazira. And then what's the Mishnah coming to teach us? That if you're a nazir and you drink wine, you're going to get malchus. can't imagine that's what the Mishnah needs to teach us. So Alab Shita the Hefer Laba. It must be the following. We're injecting a Chiddush into the Mishnah. And here's the Chiddush. That it must be the Mishnah's talking about a case where the husband did Afara. And she's still going to get Malkus. Oh, now that's a Chiddush. Now, if the way that Hafara works is that it expunges her Nazirus from the record altogether, and that it clears her entire record, not only from the point of Hafara, but going all the way back to the point of origination, where her neder was nothing. So then, she's not going to get Malkus, because she never was a Nazira. So, if the husband did Hafara, and she's getting Malkus, the only way we could look at it is, so it must be that the way that Hafara works is Giza, that it only is going from this point going forward, which means that historically she was Nazira, and here's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, it's a beautiful Chiddush, that in the event that she made a neder of being a Nazira, and then she drank wine and she went to a cemetery, and then after that the husband did Hafara, the Hafara only cuts off her Naziras from this point going forward, but historically she was a Nazira, which means that anything she did while she was a Nazira between her commitment to being a Nazira to the point of Hafara, now she's on the books of being a Nazira, and as a result of that, that means that if she were to drink wine or go to a cemetery or get a haircut, she'd be Chayv Malkus. So it must be then that the way Hafara works is Megas Gaius. Beautiful. It's a beautiful Chiddush in the Mishnah. But the Gemara deflects. The Gemara says, no, you don't have to say that. We can go back to our original position, which is that Hafara works from the point of origination. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, meaning what was our problem with the Mishnah? The Mishnah wasn't saying anything. The Mishnah is so pashut. So the Gemara says, no, maybe we could suggest the following. So because there's another point coming up in the Mishnah, which we haven't seen yet, and that is, let's say the husband did Hafara, and she didn't know. She was just simply unaware of the fact that her husband did a Hafara. The Hafara of the husband still works, the annulment of the vow still works, even though she didn't know about it. And while in this state of not knowing about the Hafara, she's drinking wine and she's going to a cemetery. So fascinating, meaning she's trying, she's trying to violate her Naziris. Right, she's trying to violate her Naziris. The only problem is that the husband took the Naziris and pulled it right out from under her through the power of Hafara. But she's trying to violate Naziris. So is she going to get Malkus? Now obviously the question is, after everything was discovered that the husband did Hafara and she wasn't really a Nazir, but at least at the time when she was drinking the wine, she thought she was a Nazira, and she was trying to violate her Naziris, so is she going to get Malkus? That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Chiddush of the Mishnah is that no. Once the husband does Hafara, she's no longer a Nazira, even though she didn't know about it, even if she drank wine and she didn't know about it, she's still not going to be receiving Malkus. Is that such a Chiddush? Tosus is bothered by that. Tosus says you can even argue that that's not such a chiddush. Tosus points out that not everybody agrees with that position in the Mishnah. There are other Tanaim who disagree with that Mishnah. So Tosus makes a suggestion that maybe the Mishnah's point is lafuke. It's coming to exclude the other opinions that don't agree with this position. That Tosus suggests is maybe really the chiddush of the Mishnah.
Isn't she supposed to hear the
Hafara? Huh? No, she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to hear the Hafara. Husband's ability to be mefer is. It's just an ability. It's a power that was given to him. And she doesn't have to be present in order for the Hafara to work. Okay. Let's go. Tana. I'm sorry. So Tana Nami Resha Sofegas. Okay, so the Gemara now is saying, look. Really, there's no Chiddush in the first half of the Mishnah. It's Pasha. A woman who's a Nazira drinks wine is going to get Malkus. I understand that's obvious. But when the only reason why the Mishnah would like to present that case as a foil for the next case in the Mishnah. The next case in the Mishnah is where she wasn't a Nazira, but again, she didn't know that. And she's drinking wine and she's going to a cemetery and she's not going to be receiving a Malkus. That's a Chiddush. So since the Mishnah is interested in demonstrating that Reish, I'm sorry, that Seifa, so therefore it introduces us to the Reish as well as a foil. So again, like we say very often, symmetry. The Mishnah wanted a symmetrical case where here's the case where she is going to get Malkus, here's the case where she's not going to get Malkus, and so therefore to create that almost, if you will, poetry of the Mishnah, so therefore it gives us a case which Enach Inami does not have a Chiddush in it whatsoever. Good. Chav Beis Amad Alf, top line, Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here and again. The question that we're trying to resolve goes back to our original point. When the husband does hafara, does this hafara go back to the point of origination, Me'akar Aker, and remove the neder altogether, or no? Megas guys that only go from the point of hafara and forward, but historically she was a Nazira. So Aisha Shenadra Benazivinit Me'vachaka Chefala Ba'ala. So the Gemara quotes a brisa which should be familiar to us. We saw this brisa 3 days ago in the daf. A woman who declares herself to be a Nazir. And she becomes Tamea. And after having become Tamea, what happens is that she now says, look, I know what I have to do now. I have to bring Karbanos. So she sets aside Karbanos. She sets aside her, remember, a Nazir who becomes Tamei, in this case a Nazira who becomes Tamei. She has to set aside two birds and an animal. Two birds, one's a Chatas, the other's an Ola, and the animal is an Asham. And now what she has to do, at the conclusion of her Taman, day 8 of her Taman, she has to bring those Karbanos. And then all the while her husband finally catches wind of what's going on with his wife, and the husband says, I'll have none of it. No, thank you. Meaning, not the Naziris, not the Tumma, not the Karbanos. At the end of the Tumma, the husband just says, I'm going to put an end to it all. And the husband does Hafara. Now, question on the table. What do we do with the animals that she set aside? Now, we asked a similar question yesterday. But the similar question that we asked yesterday had to do with her Naziris at the conclusion of... had to do with the Karbanos at the end of the Naziris. Here, we're asking what to do with the animals that she set aside because she was a Nazir B'Tumma. So here the Braisa says, here's what we're going to do with their animals. Mivia chata sa'ov, ve'enu mivia ola sa'ov. The chata sa'ov, that she's still going to bring. The ola sa'ov, that she's no longer going to bring. Now we pointed out 3 days ago when we did this Gemara earlier, what about there's a carbon ashram also that the Braisa here is not mentioning. So the Rishonim suggested earlier that the ashram and chatas are really one and the same. So whatever is the fate of the chatas is also going to be the fate of the ashram. Either way, point is that she'll bring a chatas, but she won't bring an ola. And the Gemara says that's obviously confusing. And the Gemara spells out how the confusion. Now, if the way that the hafara works is that it goes only to the point of the hafara but does not go back historically anymore, so that means let's look at her history. Her history still has on record that she was a Nazira, that she did become Tamea, that she set aside the Karbanos for her being Tamea. So if it's only Megas Gaias, so everything is still on record, which means she should bring all the Karbanos. The Karban Chatas and the Karban Ola. And the Gemara says, so then, Taisin Ami Ola Sa'of. So then the conclusion should have been, bring the Chatas and bring the Ola. Ve'elamai Me'aka Akir, the Gemara says, okay, now it's considered the other way. Let's say that the Hafar of the husband is a total removal of record. Meaning, on the books now, she has nothing. She was never a Nazira. She was never Tamei as a Nazira. So now, Chatasof Nami Lo Taisi. So now, obviously, that would lead to more confusion. Because then she shouldn't bring the Ola, but she also should not bring the Chatas as well. So, the Gemara says, look, here, this is not a proof for either side. Here, either Megas Gaias and she should bring both Karbanos, or Me'akar Akar and she should bring no Karbanos. But this happy middle is not a happy middle. Where she's going to bring the Chatas, but she's not going to bring the Ola. Doesn't make sense.
So we answer that.
And we're going to answer it the same way here as well. Okay, good. So the Taisi Hachinami. Hachinami Vahamani Rabbi Lazar Kafarhi. So the Gemara says, no, really what we could suggest is the following. Now really, in Hachinami, what's happening over here is an uprooting of her Naziris altogether. And she's still going to bring a chatas. And why is she going to bring a chatas? Because she should never have accepted upon herself the Naziris to begin with. Granted, her being a Nazira is expunged off the record. But she accepted to be a Nazir, and for that, that's something she should not have done. And why shouldn't she have done it? The Gemara says, because look, the Tanya will learn to the Brisa, Rabbi Lazar Kafar Omer, Mata Malamer, Me'asher Chatal HaNefesh. The woman, a person, right? Anyone who takes on Naziris is sinning. V'chibe is a nefesh chatozeh. What sin are we talking about? El mimish yitzir atzmo menayayin. Because you abstain from drinking wine. Nik rechote. You are declared a sinner v'halo dvarim kavachomer. And now, let's extrapolate. Umazeh shalot yitzir atzmo el menayayin. Nik rechote, a person. who only abstention is from wine, and such a person is called the sinner. So if you live a general life of abstention, I'm not going to have this, I'm not going to have that, no thank you, right? I don't want to benefit from this world, so how much more so you're considered a chote. So the Gemara is essentially saying that, look, she's not a nazir. She's not a Nazira. And not only is she not a Nazira now, she never was a Nazira, because the Hafara goes all the way back. But she brings a carbon chatzis. Well, how do we understand that? Why should she do that? She took on the Nazira, so you know what? You're taking on the Nazira, so you need to bring a carbon chatzis.
But that was expunged also. Right. She really didn't make that. If you go by the root that's
right,
she didn't make
right.
That.
So the only thing I'm going to answer, I hear your point, and I like your point. But the only thing I'll answer is that she never was a Nazira, but she wanted to be a Nazira. Right. She intended to be a Nazira. She wanted to be a Nazira. So the chait lies in her wanting to take on the Naziris. And she it actualized, meaning she not only wanted, but she took it on. So as far as when she was ever a Nazir, the Hafara says no, she never was a Nazir. But she wanted to take it on, and for that, she has to answer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. She's got to do a little kapara.
The Gemara didn't answer that previously. Yeah. What is behavior?
No, the Gemara said...
No, previously they said... The reason she brings a family because it's his behemoth. It's a chatzis to
Mitzvah. Look, I know it's Rosh Hashanah, but don't test me.
That's why she's bringing it.
Now the Gemara gave the look at your test. It's on Daf your test.
No,
Gemara asked the same.
It was yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're going back to yesterday's Daf. Oh yeah, but yesterday's Daf was a different question.
No, it wasn't. Why
did you say I'm sorry. You're going back to yesterday. Okay. Now I wasn't understanding you, because if you go back to your test, the Gemara's answer is identical to what we just saw right now. Yesterday's Daf we talked about the karbanos that she set aside. The Gemara yesterday made a distinction whether it was his karbanos or her karbanos. Right.
So
correct. So yesterday's Gemara told us that if it was his karbanos, the animals go free, right? And if it was hers, so it's chata shemesa bala. Right. Okay. Fine. Right. Correct. Correct. In other words, she wanted to violate an avera. Right. Correct. Correct. Okay. Finally, Tashma D'Tanya Behedja. So the Gemara says, let's see the following Braisa. Now, again, this is one of those situations where the Gemara has a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to resolve the question pretty straightforward. And so what were we doing all this time, right, with this Braisa in hand? In other words, if this Braisa really resolved the question, so why does the Gemara take us a tour of Mishnayos and Braisa? So you know the answer to that question already, or at least you should, and that is the Gemara likes exhausting all other possibilities. It's just a Derech HaGemara. So even though the Gemara has a Braisa, which says it pretty straightforward, more than pretty straightforward. We are now three lines in the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara continues. Aisha Shenadra Benazir, a woman who made a neder in Naziris. Vishama Chaver Tavam Ravani. And her friend overhears, and her friend says, what a great idea, I would like to be a Nazir as well. Ubabala shall be shown, and the husband of the first wife comes along, Vehefala, and does Hafara, annuls the neder. He muteres. So as far as the wife is concerned, obviously now her Nazir's got annulled. And the next two words are the key words, Vechaver to Asura. Now as far as the friend is concerned, her friend is still a Nazira. How could that be, her friend still being a Nazira? If the original woman's Naziris has been annulled, so how can the second woman still be Nazira? The only answer must be that the way Hafara works is that Hafara only goes from the point of Hafara forward. It does not change the past. It doesn't change her record. On record, she still was a Nazira, even though she's no longer. And so therefore, when the second person hitched her Naziris onto the first, there's still something to hitch it onto. Meaning, because the first one, at least historically, still was a Nazira. Shmamina Baal Megaz Gaya. So the Gemara says Shmamina. Good. That's a solid conclusion, that the way that Hafara works is only Megaz Gaya, and only cuts it from this point going forward, but does not go back historically. Bottom of the Amud, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Amra La Hareini Kemosech Shtein Mutaras. Now, Rabbi Shimon says as follows. Let's say that the way the second woman verbalized her Nazirus is as follows. Hareini Kemosech. Right, it's like Rus and Inami, right? The where Rus says, whatever your fate is, my fate is going to be the same. So here, these two friends, the second friend says to the first, Hareni kamosech, I'm going to be like you. Whatever your fate is, I'm going to go in with you. So Rabbi Shimon says, under those circumstances, once hafar was done to the first, so that the second one is going to be complemented a hafara as well. Because the second one didn't just simply say, I would like to be a nazir, but rather she says, I'm going to rest my fate together with your fate, and if it means that you end your nazirs, I'm ending my nazirs. If it means that your nazirs gets cut off, mine's going to be as well.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. Now, Hashem Mataras. Mar Zuchabrei de Rav Mari Amar. Hi. So Mar Zuchabrei de Rav Mari says, you know that this meaning, what we just learned together, is Hainu de Rami Bar Chama. That is the exact same question as Rami Bar Chama. Debai Rami Bar Chama, because Rami Bar Chama asked the following question. Now it takes us back to Nedarim, it takes us all the way back to the beginning, towards the beginning of Masechet Nedarim, when we ask the following question. Now, just as a little bit of a preface to, before we go through the question on Nedarim. We know that a person makes a Nedar, so he could say, is that this thing is going to be to me like a carbon. And in doing so, that's what's called a hatfasa, that's called a comparison. I'm comparing this item to a carbon, just like a carbon is prohibited to me, so too this item is going to be prohibited to me. Okay, that's the that's just right. It was that was taught to us in the first Ran in the Masechta. Now, with that stated, Hatfasa works, but it only works under the following circumstances, and that is that when I make a comparison, I have to be comparing it to something which started off as being mutter, but then becomes aser. Just like this item right now, which started off to me to be mutter, is going to be aser. So, carbon is a perfect example. A carbon is something which an animal that was not aser to me. Then somebody was makdish it. It then became aser to me. So too, this item over here is mutter. Now it's going to be aser. Like the Gemara Nedarim says, Mishnah Nedarim says, if I compare something to Chazer, Chazer never had a Shas Heter. So if I compare something to Chazer and I try to create a neder by making a hatfasa to Chazer, it doesn't work. Because Chazer was never mutter. Good. That's so far the beginnings of the discussion. The Gemara over there asked a question, the name of Rami Bar Chama, and the question was like this. What if a person did hatfasa with the meat of Karban Shlamim? The meat of Karban Shlamim. So the meat of Karban Shlamim is tricky, right? Because the meat of Karban Shlamim, or... kibbutz zevach shlamim. So the meat of carbon shlamim, let's go over what happened. First, the animal was mutter. Then someone designated it as a carbon shlamim. So right now, in the state that it's in, immediately after hektish, it now becomes aser. Then what? Then you're going to bring it to the base of mikdash, the kohen's going to offer it. He's going to take the blood, he's going to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. He'll take certain parts of the animal, the imurim, and offer that on top of the mizbeach. As far as the rest of the animal is concerned, it's mutter, so it's going to be eaten. Parts of it are going to go to the Kohen, Chazav Ishok, but the rest of it is going to be eaten by the owner in a state of perfect heter. Okay, so now, when we talk about the Karban Shlamim, so it can be, if you will, three different stages of the Karban. Well, the first stage is where it was mutter, it's not even a Karban. But after declaring it to be a Karban, it goes through two stages. Stage number one is the Tasser. Stage number two, after the dam and after the imorim, is that it's mutter. So now, when I do a hatfasa and I compare it to the meat of Karban Shlamim, am I talking about the present state or am I talking about the future state? And the Gemara in Nedarim says, this is a question that was posed by Rami Bar Chama. What the Gemara now is doing is suggesting is that this question is basically a mimic of our issue right over here. When the woman says to her friend, Hareini kamosech, I'm going to be just like you. Second woman says to the first woman. So is she talking about the present condition or is she talking about the future condition? If she's talking about the present condition means right now you're a Nazir. You know what that means? You know what's saying about me right now? I'm going to be a Nazir as well. Regardless of what's going to happen to you in the future, I don't care about the future. I'm talking right now about the present state. However, if we're looking at the future, Hareini kamosech, I'm going to be like you, meaning even though you're currently right now a Nazir, but I'm also going to follow you down the road. And if you're going to become heter because your husband was made for your neder, I'm going to be heter as well.
If you have a shlam, there's certainly that what's going to happen, but this woman's
Good. Very good. So the Gemara says, so let's see all this inside. I say good, Ben, but you'll see. Gemara is going to raise objections to the comparison. But right now, just that's the comparison. So we're on the top of Chav Beis Amud Beis. Marzut Rebbe Rav Mari Amar Hai Hainu Derami Bar Chama. The case of the two women and the verbalization of Harini Kamoseich is just like the question of Rami Bar Chama that he asked back in the Darim. Debai Rami Bar Chama Harei Alai Kabasa Zevach Shlamim Mahu. A person says that I would like to make this item to me prohibited, just like the meat of Basar Shlamim. Ki Matfis Hidish Biikar Matfis is the Hatfasa done at the point of what it originally was, meaning the carbon is originally Aser. Odil Mabitsinin Matfis. Or no, maybe it's talking about sonin. Sonin we know means cold. What does that mean, cold, in the context of shlamim? Meaning, after the animal was shechted, and after the blood was sprinkled, and after the immor were brought, so now, probably the person would like to cook his meat, but cold over here means that the animal is no longer alive. Meaning the animal's dead, and everything was done properly. The shechita, the zrika sadam, the havasi murim, everything was done properly. And now what do you have in front of you? Heter. The meat of the basar shlamim is heter. With restrictions, by the way, I'll say under my breath, parenthetically, you're not allowed to take the shlamim, eat it outside the base of, eat it outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, there are some restrictions, but basically it's heter. So the Gemara says, so again, so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the two questions can be put side by side, because really what's at the root of the issue is, am I looking at the current state, or do I project into the future, look at the future state? The Gemara says, me dumb, and the Gemara says they're not comparable, and Ben, this is basically your point that you made earlier. Hasim kevin dam ha'arei alai kebasim zevach shlamim afag avdalachish and izrak dam ha'masi achalei b'chutz mikdash kadesh. Gemara says, we'll make the following distinction. Number one, says the Gemara, when it comes to a carbon shlamim. So carbon shlamim, look, it's true that after the Zrika Saddam and after the Havasi Murim, so it's true that you can eat it. But when all said and done, it's still a carbon shlamim. Meaning it still has the very definition of a carbon shlamim. It is a carbon shlamim. So it does go through a change, but not a metamorphosis. Meaning we're not going from point A to point B. In other words, it's a carbon shlamim. These are just the basic rules of a carbon shlamim. Avahachi sakadacha bitzina kamatfis hahefer labala. So the but on the other hand, when it comes to the woman who was a nazir, but then her husband did hafara, you see, she was a nazir, now she's not. It's not the same. Meaning she went through a metamorphosis. She was a nazira, and then the husband comes along and says, I want nothing of it. And the husband does a hafara, and that's it. She now is actually converted from being a nazira to being a non-nazira. So that's a totally different it's a new entity. It's like, as if you will, borrowing a term from Baba Kama, Panim Chadash was Baal Lakan. It's a totally new entity. So when it had the shlamim, I could project to the future, because the truth of the matter is that's the destiny. The destiny of a carbon shlamim is you shecht it, you bring the you sprinkle the blood. And then you eat the meat. That's what happens to every carbon shlamim. And it's still a shlamim. Nothing changed. It's still a shlamim. That's just how a shlamim behaves. Masha Inkin, when it comes to a woman who was a nazira, and then the husband says, no, I'm taking it away, that's different. Her naziris is gone. So the Gemara says, I really don't see the comparison between the two. Whatever Rami Bar Chama's considerations are over there in the Gemara Nedarim are not necessarily the same over here. So you ask the question over here, you ask the question over there. So the Gemara says, I don't see it being the same question. The Gemara says, Ikad Amri, now another version is, Hainu de Rami Bar Chama Vadai. The other version is, no, the question is brilliant. In other words, Rami Bar Chama's question and our issue is exactly the same issue. What about the fact that the Gemara just made a distinction between the two? So what you're going to have to say is, somehow, you're going to have to put the question back in place and see exactly how they line up. Even though the Gemara a moment ago said that the questions really don't line up. Okay. Next question the Gemara is going to deal with is the following. Let's say a woman says to the other, I'm going to follow in your footsteps. Again, very similar to what we discussed just a moment ago, right? Hareini kamosech. But over here, the language that's being used is hareini beikvech. I'm following in your footsteps. So hareini beikvech bekula milsa v'sharya. So again, the scenario is the exact same scenario. Two women, one woman made a nether of being a nazira. Second woman says, me too, but the words that she uses, hareini beikvech, and now the first woman's husband hears, and he's made for the nether. And now, question is, as it was previously, is this, when she says, hareini beikvech, does it mean now currently, or wherever your footsteps follow, I'm going to go down the same path as well. And if your husband does hafara, I'm also going to be lifted as well. Same question, but the question here is really rooted in what is intended with the words hareini beikvech. So let me just read the Gemara one more time. Amar la hareini nizrech beikvech ma hareini beikvech bekula milsa v'sharya. You're following down the entire path, and therefore it's going to be mutar. Dilma ki mikame delefer la bala v'asire. Or no, or is it just going from the point of the? From the point of her being a Nazira, before the husband did a Farah, and therefore the second woman's going to be Aser, even though the first woman is no longer going to be Aser, Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's see, and let's see it from a Mishnah. We go back to a case that we learned back in our Mishnah, and that is, the woman makes a Neder, and her husband says, Va'ani. What a great idea. I love it. You're going to be a Nazir, I'm going to be a Nazir as well. So then, but then the husband says, you know what? I love the idea for me, but I don't love the idea for you. I think it's a poor idea. In fact, not only that, I'm going to do Hafara. I'm going to be made for your Neder. So the Mishnah tells us, any Yochel Hafara, you can't. Now, once again, I'm going to say this like I said yesterday. We all know why. Right. So, but don't say it. Meaning, I'll say it. we all know why. The reason why is because it's Kiyum. Because when he said the word Va'ani, what he's really doing is he's giving a stamp to the Neder that she made, and that's really a Kiyum. It's a tacit Kiyum of her Neder. But right now, the Gemara's not thinking that. Okay? The Gemara will eventually come around to that, and once it does, so then this proof is no longer a proof. But what the Gemara wants to try to do right now is consider that there's another option in terms of why it is a husband can't do Afara, and based on that other option, it can be revelatory on our question. Our question is, when you say, Hareini be'ikvech, I'm going to follow in your footsteps, so now, can the husband do Afara? So the Mishnah says, no, why not? So the Gemara says, when you say Hareini be'ikvech, so really what you're doing is you're going to the point of origination. Meaning, I'm only taking on what you originally took on. You took on being an Azir? Hareini be'ikvech, I take that on as well. I'm not following you down any road, but I take that on. Excuse me. Lefer la lidida, v'lokim didei. So if that's true, so then he should be able to do Afara. Because even though he said Hareini be'ikvech, now again, he didn't say that. But the Gemara right now is treating his statement Va'ani as a parallel to Hareini be'ikvech. So why not just simply do the Hafara to what she did? And it's not going to affect him. Because as far as his Nazirus is concerned, he's not following her down any road. He's just taking on the Nazirus as she originally did. It must be, says the Gemara, that the reason why he can't do Hafara is because when he says Va'ani, what he's essentially saying is, Hareini be'ikvech, I'm following down your footsteps. And if her footsteps take her to the place where her Nazirus is going to be lifted, well, you know what's going to happen? His Nazirus is going to be lifted. That's why he can't do Afara. So when a woman says Hareini be'ikvech, it must be I'm going to follow you not only now but wherever life ends you up in terms of your Nazirus, I'm going to be there as well. So the Gemara says lo. The Gemara says no. That's not a compelling proof, and we all know why. Could be that when he says Hareini be'ikvech, it's only focusing on the first act of becoming a Nazir, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to hang with you and join you whenever your destiny may be. So the Gemara says, again, we're going to go back to a point that we made earlier. What is the Va'ani? Va'ani basically is Kiyum. It's a husband saying to his wife, it's such a good idea, Va'ani. It's almost if we could translate, it means, I approve of your becoming a Nazir. and included my approval is I'm going to be one as well. Okay, fine. To which the Gemara says, V'imancha akamasa matzi mefer v'ilolo. To which the Gemara says, now that we understand that Va'ani really is a kiyum, so we're going to go back to a discussion that we had back at the end of Nedarim, and that is that we learned that on a kiyum, you can quickly run to a Talmud Chacham and say, you know what? I would like my kiyum to be, I would like a release from my kiyum, which the Gemara says, you can do that. Person makes a kiyum, he can get a release from the kiyum, and if he does so, so then he could change his answer, and he could say, you know what? No, I think it's a bad idea. You're not right. I'm going to be made for your neder. But in other words, Vani is just another form of saying kiyum. Okay. Hareini nazir va'at. We go on to the next case of the Mishnah. In the next case of the Mishnah, he says to her, I'm going to be nazir, and what about you? What are your thoughts about this matter? V'amr amen. And her response is, love the idea, she says amen. And as we explained back in the Mishnah, we're going to say it once again. When she says the word amen, essentially that's her own commitment to being a nazir. Right? It's, amen is, whatever you say, I say that as well. So, mefer shalav shlo kiyum. So the Mishnah says that, under such circumstances, so he can be, he can annul her neder, even though his neder sustains. Because there really are two separate nedarim. He made a neder to be a nazir, and when he says, Hare'at, what about you, as in a question form, and she says, Amen, her Amen is her separate neder. So the Mishnah tells us that under such circumstances, so now we can bisect the two naziris. He can be made for at the same time while keeping his. So which the Gemara says, I'm going to quote a Bryce, and the Bryce over here says, the fate of the two are the same. Either they're both going to be Nazirim, or they're both not going to be Nazirim, one or the other. So what we have over here is a stira, a contradiction between our Mishnah and this Braisa, it's the Tosefta. So our Mishnah has it as two separate Nedarim, and the Tosefta has it as they complement one another. And the fates of the two are intertwined. I'm Rav Yehuda Tanan Mefer Shala Vishlo Kayim. So Rav Yehuda says, look, it's such a blatant stira. There's no way to resolve the stira. We're going to have to do some editing. So we're going to go back to the Tosefta and take out your pens and so to say, rewrite the Tosefta. It can't be. In other words, the way we understand our Mishnah is the correct understanding. When he asks the question, do you want to be a Nazira after having already taken on his own Naziris? So it's two separate commitments of Naziris. It's his and it's hers, and they're not intertwined. And that's what the Braisa means. The Braisa means that he can be made for hers while still keeping his.
Well, I asked you a question about what she wants to do. Isn't it, in a way, like, tying in what she's
doing
in advance?
Again, I'm sorry, what? I didn't follow.
It's more like a cue by asking you what you want to do, like, I approve what you're going to do, and she's come in, like, in a way, it's like a...
Oh, it's like a built-in kiyum, but still the.
It's like a.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that.
It's like giving his approval.
Right, pre-approval. It's like pre-approved credit.
Yes.
Okay. We asked a question. I do remember this back in the dark. We asked the question whether or not you could do a kama prior to the neder. Right, and the Gemara over there says there was a machlokis by Afara, but by Kiyum the Gemara says no, you can't pre-approve. The approval has to come after the neder. So okay, anyway, so that's answer number one. Obviously, it's a radical answer, radical because you know you have to tweak, you have to edit. But okay, that's answer number one. So Abaye Amar Filatemik Dektani Brisa. The Gemara says no. Abaye says leave the Brisa alone. Kigon Dekama La Harini Nazir Vat. In other words, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to reformulate. The sentence. Right, correct. Hareini nazir va'at. I'm going to be a nazir with you. Meaning that the statement over here is not two independent clauses. I'm going to be a nazir. Right, put a comma right there. And then, what do you say? Would you like to be interested? But rather, right, correct. I'm going in with you. So the katali nidra b'nidra, where the two of them now are going in. Masisa going to amar hareini nazir va'at mai. As opposed to our Mishnah, where he says, look, here's a statement, I'm going to be a Nazir. Right. Now what about you? You know, are you interested as well? So, Misham Hachi, Mufar Shalav, Vishlo Kayim. Okay, so in other words, Abaye says, because of the missing punctuation that exists in Mishnayos and Braisos, so basically you're going to have to punctuate the two sentences differently. In the Braisa, it's not a statement followed by a question, it's basically one long question. I'm going to be nazir together with you, are you good with that? Question mark. And then in the Bryce's case, good. So basically now the fates are going to be together. So either they're in or they're out, but it's a they. In the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, it's I'm going to be nazir, period. Ve'at. Now, how about you? Are you in with me? Right? What a wonderful opportunity. It'll be easy for you. I'm not going to buy wine. You won't buy wine. It'll be easy for you. But they're two independent. And that's why in our Mishnah, we could segregate the two. I can. Tomorrow we pick it up on Chav Gimel. We start with the Mishnah tomorrow. A little bit of Agadah coming up tomorrow. We've been away from Agadah for some time now. Tomorrow we come back to a little bit. Wishing everybody Ksiv V'Chsima Tova, a year that's filled with happiness, with health, Parnasa, and it goes without saying, but I'll say it, of course, Limud HaTorah.